Blog Talk Radio.
How's everybody doing? Out
there? There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order. New world coming. America will become increasingly vulnerable to hostile attack on our homeland. And our military superiority will not entirely protect us. Americans will likely die on American soil.
And I believe it will also be said of this age, the first decade of the 21st century, that out of what is will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy, perhaps one even greater than at the time of the Industrial Revolution, a new world order was created.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Now, get ready to enter the zone where real life is stranger than fiction. The place where the news may seem like a dream, and the dream may be a matrix of reality. Let us now expose all lie of the devil and bring to light all the secrets of the enemy, because God truth will set you free. John 8:32. You're listening to This Week in the Zone with your host and watchman on the wall, Phil Armstrong.
Hello, welcome to the Prophet's Zone. This is Phil Armstrong, and I'm going to be talking about the end time generation. I'd like to welcome y'all to the show. I hope y'all are having a wonderful day, and I hope God's been blessing you today. So what I want to talk about is the last generation and kind of just talk about why a lot of Christians around the world believe that this is a special year, a special time period, especially the next 7 years coming up, could hold a great importance to the world and to the church. So I'm going to be reading some information for y'all that will shine some light, hopefully to shine some light on the reason why people believe that the year 2017 and onward could mark end time period that the Bible spoke about. So Jesus talked heavily about a fig tree, and the fig tree and Hosea pointed to Israel as being that is being the object of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. What we're going to do today is going to look at a possible time of Jacob's trouble, the possible start of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is where Israel will go through a tribulation period of 7 years, spoken of by Daniel chapter 9, as he said that, and Jesus said it himself, he says that when you see abomination that causes desolation standing in the whole land, and then he told his people to flee from that destruction. Now the word, the number 40 in the Bible stands for testing. Israel went through a time of testing of 40 years. They turned 11 days journey into a 40-year testing period for them. So the number 40 it stands for testing. So you're going to hear me throughout this program today, which will last for 1 hour. You're going to hear me reference 40 years. You're also going to hear me reference 70 years, which is prophecy completion. The word 70. So when you read the book of Psalms, and it talked about the generation being 70 years, and if we are blessed, if a person's blessed, it will go to 80 years. Okay, so I want to first look at 40 years. I want to take that back. Let me see. 120 years ago, there was a Jewish council that happened, and it was the beginning of the first action to get Israel to become a nation. And a man by the name of Theodore Herzl started this, the first Zionist Congress held in Switzerland. And he was known for saying that he was the reason why Israel got a, became a nation a couple of years later. He said 50 years, he wouldn't be surprised 50 years from 1897 that Israel would be a nation. He kind of made a wisecrack, but it turned out to be accurate. So from 1897, 120 years ago, I want to first of all, you know, talk about Noah. What God said to Noah, he says, my spirit will not always strive with man, for man's time would be 120. So we ask the question, 120 what? 120 years? 120 years for a person, a man to live to be 120? Or is it 120 years that will take to build the ark? And it turned out to be both of those turned out to be true. It took 120 years, roughly around 120 years to build the ark. But mankind began to die earlier, because remember, Methuselah lived to be 967 years old. And he was the oldest man who lived. But what happened was God decided to fix the polar caps after the flood, and people started to die earlier. So what I want to first look at is the first time of testing, which happened in 1977. And if you count 1947 to 1977, you get 30 years. And that was saying that Israel reached its maturity level. So a person of 30 years reached its maturity level. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. And you know, at 12 years old, they have the bar mitzvah for kids, and they start to realize that they are a young adult, and they start to live like a young adult. Now, I wish our society would do that, but we don't. So in 1967, the year Jerusalem retaken by Israel, is 50 years Jubilee deliverance. So the number 50 stands for Jubilee and deliverance. So from 1967 to 2017, we get 50 years. And matter of fact, as of today, marks the 50th anniversary when Israel won the Six-Day War. So the number 70 stands for captivity and prophecy fulfilled. so we go from 1947, and you count 70 years, you end up at 2017. Then in 1817, of course, we just talked about that, the first Jewish Zionist Congress, and the number 120 marks judgment. So that happens in 2017. Things are converging on this fall. Actually, the whole year. Matter of fact, like I said before, the convergence is even today because of the 50th anniversary of Israel taking back Jerusalem. Excuse me. So there are a lot of people looking for things to transpire before this year is out. I was looking at some economists who... I'm talking 10, 15 economists who are right on, who are pointing to this fall as the time that our markets will start to collapse. And I'm not trying to look at the glass half empty, but I am trying to relay a message to y'all that you say, well, what can we do to get ready? Can we store food and all this other stuff? Look, I'm personally to tell you, I'm a pre-trip rapture believer. I believe that the rapture can happen. It can happen at any moment. But for me, I believe it's a Rosh Hashanah Feast of Trumpets at the last trump. There's a series of trumpets blown on the Feast of Trumpets. And it could be in any year. I know people get upset when I say that, but am I dogmatic that is this year? I'm pretty convinced, but I can be wrong. I know a lot of people out there don't want Jesus Christ to come back, but they claim to be Christians, and that doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. You have to be honest with yourself if you love the world. To me, Jesus... Okay, let me stop bumping the table because I got to have the bump in the table during the radio protest. But Jesus said if you love your husband, wife, mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. So that takes that out. And then Jesus said to one of the disciples who say, well, I would like to follow you, but let me go bury my father first. And then he says, let the dead go bury the dead. Then he gives parables of being invited to the, he went out and invited. He gives a parable of someone inviting people to the wedding of the son of the king. And people had all kinds of excuses why they didn't want to come. They came up with the excuse that I have to go first. I'm getting married to my wife, or I have to go do my business, or I have to go do this or that. And he says, well, go ask them. You guys can't come. He says, go ask somebody else. You know, and he went out and asked other people, and the door was shut. And you can't love this world. First John 2:15 says, love not the world or the things that are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So for someone to say, well, why do you always talk about Jesus coming back? We got to occupy until he come. We got to do the work. Or somebody will tell you, I need to stay here so I can help get somebody else to heaven. I'm like, look. If you get left behind and millions of people disappear, they don't want your Christianity. They don't want your Christianity. I'm serious. No matter how sincere you are after that, even if you cry with sorrow and tears, they're not going to want your Christianity. So make sure you guys are ready for Christ's return, because it's going to be quick and swift, and you can't change it after it happens. If you got your mind all into the world, the Bible says, take heed that the day does not come upon you unawares. Take heed that it does not come upon you as a snare. Talking about a rabbi by the name, it's a Jewish rabbi by the name of Judah ben Samuel. He prophesied about 10 final jubilees before the Messianic kingdom would begin. The start of the final 10 jubilees would be a signal by the Ottoman Turks rule over Holy City, Jerusalem, which would last 8 jubilees or 400 years. A jubilee is a period of 50 years according to the Leviticus 25:8-13 and 15:17. Now, he made this prophecy in 1217. Now, this guy's been accurate. There's no one to come out and say, oh, he's exposed as being false. No, nobody. They're not doing the Notre Dame on him. He's accurate. Okay, so he says in 1517, which was also a jubilee year, the Ottoman Turks seized control of the city of Jerusalem and ruled over it for the next 400 years. They were finally driven out of the Holy City and the Holy Land in 1917 by the Allied forces under the command of General George Allenby. The rabbi's prophecies about 400 years were fulfilled exactly to the year. Exactly to the year. The rabbi also prophesied that during the ninth jubilee, the next 50 years, Jerusalem would be a no man's land. By the way, they have a road they had a road and going right through the middle of it called No Man's Land. It says, this is exactly what happened from 1917 to 1967. The Holy Land was placed under British mandate in 1917 by the League of Nations and literally belonged to a no nation. Even after Israel's border independence in 1947 and 1949, Jerusalem was still divided by the strip of land running right through the heart of the city. Jordan controlled the eastern part of the city, and Israel controlled the western part of the city. The strip of land was even called No Man's Land, which I just said. So the rabbi also said that during the 10th Jubilee, the final Jubilee, Jerusalem would be under control of the Jews until the Messianic kingdom would begin. Of course, the Bible says that Jerusalem would be in the hands of the Gentiles until the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We know in 1967, the land returned back to the Jewish people. So that tells you that the land, the Jewish, the times of the Jacob's trouble was near. So to review what I just said, you had Ottoman Turks take over Jerusalem in 1517. Then you had in 1917 the Balfour Declaration, and Israel is declared a Jewish homeland. And in 1967, the Jewish recaptured by Israel, and then 2017 will be the start of the Messianic Kingdom. This is what this rabbi has said. The rabbi prophecy came to pass during Sekol 2017. Jesus will proclaim a Jubilee. Now, the Jubilee, the main issue about the Jubilee is what Jesus said when he said, when he first wrote the scroll and he read the scroll in front of the synagogue, and they got ticked off at him, and they chased him out of the city, and he left and didn't return. Well, anyway, they got pissed off at him because he said what the meaning of the Jubilee was, and one of the things was to release the slaves. What are we a slave to? We're a slave to sin. And when you receive a glorified body, spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15, it says we should be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And the last trump, man, come on, man, Rosh Hashanah or what? In the twinkling of an eye is when the day goes from daytime, and you get that last part of when the night comes in, it's a twinkle of an eye. It's at the pitch of the dark when the sun goes down. And that's what the Bible, that's what he's saying, the twinkling of an eye. So he's trying to give you a hint of Rosh Hashanah. When Jesus said, no man knows the day and hour, we don't know the day and hour. But what Jesus was saying was, he says, I will come back on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. That's what he was saying. Now, the majority of people are going to say, no, he's going to come back on Pentecost. He's going to come back on Passover. And there's nothing wrong with that. They could be right. But what I do see is that people can't stand Feast of Trumpets. People can't stand Rosh Hashanah for no apparent reason. So what do you think the answer is? If the devil is behind Peter in telling Jesus that he's not going to go to the cross, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Was he calling Peter Satan? No, because just a few minutes ago he says, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. It is what Peter was saying. It's what Jesus was saying that he'll build his church on. He wasn't saying, I'm going to, like the Catholic Church, I'm going to build my church on Peter. Peter can hold up the church anyway. He'll be, but anyway, he's not talking about, I'm going to build my church on Peter. He's saying, I'm going to build my church on the statement that we just said, or we just talked about, that he's the son of the living God. He's God. So when you see people come up and they say that Jesus Christ is coming back on a certain day, you know, you can do two things. You can run far away from them, or you can say this person knows something. Now, I'm going to turn to, and I'm going to tell y'all right now, there are millions of people looking for Jesus Christ to come back, and this is exactly the setup that God himself proclaimed, because the word of God says he'll never do anything without telling his prophets and priests first. So he's going to tell his prophets and priests that, hey, I'm coming back, and when I come back, the people that are in the light will understand. The people are in the dark will not understand. There are people in the church. And please follow me here. The word of God is meant for everybody. So if, for instance, I say to y'all that the 10 virgins is a good example of the church, and its last days, because in the Revelation's actually divided better when he talks about Laodicean and Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia, the church of Laodicea. So what happens is, Jesus, first of all, said, and I guess I'll just say it, in Hebrews 9:10, it says, you can see the day approaching, and that's slightly before he said, do not forsake the gathering assemblies of yourself, as some count, as some think is wise. It's not wise to not go to church. I know there's a remnant out there who say, now, if you can get two or three together and you call that a church, that's fine. That's not against God's, you know, that's how new churches got started. But what Jesus is saying, and to the church of Laodicea, he says, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And then he says to the church of Philadelphia, you have kept the word of my patience, I to keep you out of the time of testing. And what he's saying is that they have kept his word. So the Bible sets up a principle through the parables that watching for Jesus was a preeminence. It says in Luke 25, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you can escape. So if you combine that with Hebrews chapter 9, that says you will see the day approaching, it's kind of like the Super Bowl. You know when the Super Bowl is coming. And you see the day approaching, and you know back in the 80s, you really know for a fact that I forgot all about my radio program. I was talking to the people on Block Talk, Facebook. Let me find this thing before I continue on. Okay, so let me see. Okay, so let me finish up with the generation, and then I Revelation 12 sign is a sign that you can find in Revelation chapter 12, and it marks the constellation Virgo and Leo. Now, before you hang up on me, or before you cut me off, hear me out here. The Bible believes in astronomy. The world believes in astrology. So what happened when Jesus Christ first came was there was a wise man following a star. That's what they call the Star of Bethlehem. Matter of fact, that showed up in 2015, June 30th, 2015. And this star was followed, you know, back in Jesus' time, was followed when he was born, was followed by the wise men. Now, how did they know that the star was of in greatest importance? Because first of all, the Jubilee cycles that I read earlier came into play. Now, God told Noah that man's time would be 120. Is it 120 years that he would take to build the, arc, and then, man, only have 120 years left? Or is it 120 where men will only live to be 120? But it goes one step more. Jesus was talking and referring to Leviticus 25, where there are, and I just talked about Rabbi Judah ben Samuel, of the so you go to from Adam and Eve all the way up to Jesus Christ, there's a certain amount of Jubilee cycles, which is 50-year cycles. And I think it was 80 at that point. And then from Jesus Christ being born, or crucifixion, whatever they take off from, to now, 2017, you come to Judah ben Samuel's 10th Jubilee. And what's going to happen is that Judah ben Samuel said that there would be a Messianic king beginning, and he gave a specific year. Now, is this guy a false prophet, or is he a prophet of God? Well, everything was accurate up until now. So what a lot of Christians are looking for now is sometime this year. If you're a Pentecostal rapture person, or if you are a Passover rapture, well, those two are past. Matter of fact, past Pentecost is right now. So Jesus could possibly come back at any moment, but my belief, what I just said a few minutes ago, was that I believe that he will possibly come back on the Feast of Trumpets, and there's a lot of signals and signs to say it is possibility that he will come back on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, as a Christian, how do you get ready for Jesus Christ coming? And does the Bible give any clue to be ready when Christ returns? And yes, it does. Now, I found some weird things this year that was kind of freaky, and it could just be something to pass by. But God believes in God uses numbers. Okay, God uses numbers more than the actual apostate church thinks he does. 50 years between the time Jesus Christ went to heaven and the time started was 50 years. That was Pentecost. And that's written into the Jewish customs and feasts. Now, Jesus said, God himself said, that these are my feasts. Now, the church says, oh, we're not to follow any feast and all of this stuff. Well, we follow Christmas, and Christmas is a pagan holiday. So I like Christmas, be on the honest side. I love Christmas. I love buying people gifts and stuff. I love, back when I was a kid, receiving gifts. I used to be a receiver. I used to be a great receiver, too. You used to think I was a wide receiver. I received those gifts, so I caught those gifts like Lynn Swan. But, Jesus said that these are my feasts. So when people kick it to the side, the Jubilee. So when I'm talking to y'all, I'm going to try to find that, because I don't know. Let me see. Jesus. Excuse me. And excuse me, this is kind of rules for me to do it this way, but I wanted to say where Jesus first came to the scene, and he read the in front of the synagogue, and they got ticked off at him because he was reading the scroll, and the scroll talked about freeing, you know, the bondages of people and stuff like that. Well, that's what the Jubilee stands for. The Jubilee stands for freeing of people. Now, if you read Corinthians, when it talks about we should not all sleep, but we should all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're being set free at the rapture of the church when Jesus Christ does come. We're being set free from the bondages that we have been, that mankind since Adam and Eve have been encompassed by or in slavery to. And it says in Romans chapter 6 that we are slaves to who we obey. And we are, and Jesus said himself, he says, you are going to obey the king, the person you are, you know, enslaved to. You know, and that's how it was in slavery. African Americans know that you obeyed your slave master. Well, today people are enslaved to sin. And God himself, Jesus, came to seek and save those who are lost. He also came to save us from our sins. And people don't understand that. The church world does not understand. The apostasy is saying that we are all sinners, which is true. A lot of times error does not have to be total error. And what the error is that God tolerates you with that sin. Technically, he doesn't. That's why Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. Now, the book of the First Peter says that talks about the power of God. Romans says, "Therefore, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It is the gift of God toward salvation." So, what it is that the same power that Moses used to part the Red Sea was from God. The same power that Moses used when he had to raise his hands up, and Caleb and Eleazar, somebody was on the other side of him, and he had to keep his hands up, and Israel had victory. Or the same power that held the sun still, or you can even come up further, the power of Jesus Christ to heal the blind, to give sight to the blind and the deaf, and to heal the person who was had leprosy, and to raise the dead. It's the same power that God would use to set man free from sin. Now, hear me out for a second. Jesus said greater things that you would do. Now, what can be greater than healing the sick? Remember the disciples, 72 disciples went out, two and two, and they came back and said, "Master, we healed the sick and we gave sight to the blind and we rose the dead." And he says, "You would do other the people coming after you would do greater works." And then he says, in John, he talks about the Holy Spirit Comforter coming to give, to indwell a human being and to give them power. Give them power to do what? To preach the gospel. Now, what's better, to get a man to see and a man to have no leprosy, or to give him the gospel so he have eternal life and he won't have those issues no more? So, when Jesus opened the scroll, he talked about bringing freedom to the captives. That's what the word Jubilee is, to set the slave free. And so at the rapture of the church, multiple people will be set free from sin. Every single person will receive a new body. And that is the importance of the end of the age. The end of the age is not something that somebody, a church, should shy away from, a preacher should shy away from. These preachers don't want to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. They don't want to preach it. They don't want to preach that, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back and it's going to stop their party. Because a lot of preachers have the Rolls Royces and the nice mansion houses and stuff. And there's even preachers who don't have all that stuff and still connected to the world. You know, poor people are more connected to the world than rich people. What did Jesus say to the rich ruler? The rich ruler says, "Oh, I've kept all of those things. I've kept, not doing adultery or not fornicating and not lying and stealing. He said, Jesus says, okay, you've done that, but one thing you've left out, go sell all you have and come follow me. Well, Jesus was blunt. And that's why I keep iterating on and talking about on Facebook is, and I haven't went to YouTube. I'm still trying to get over to YouTube. But to deny thyself, to decrease, that God may increase. Now, I don't believe when God first made the scriptures, there was no verse in scripture. So when I say this, I'm just saying that God is a God of numbers. I'm not saying that these chapters represent years. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is a coincidence that the numbers are written down, and whoever God got, because God is the overseer of his own word. So when people say, well, there are mistakes in the King James Version, well, God must have allowed it to happen, because God, if God can create you and me, whose DNA is so sophisticated that it takes scientists and biologists to figure out the DNA, how much more can he figure out his own Bible? Well, anyway, what was unique about the Bible is Matthew 17-24 was very unique about those chapters, is that the chapter preceding 17 is 16. And what was weird about that is, if you want to know what to do to get raptured ready, is read these chapters, 17 in Matthew's, and I'll read it for you. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And what I was talking about earlier is chapter 16. Let's just say, for instance, 17 represented 2017. It doesn't, but just let's say it does. God is the God of numbers. So he, throughout his Bible, chapter 66 always referred to the flesh of man, the goal of man to exclude himself from God. If you go through Genesis all the way to Revelations, if you had a chapter, verse 66, 66 always represents the verse of man. I don't know why, but the word of God didn't have chapter and verse. So whenever he put these chapter and verses in, it was brilliant. Because if you go through the whole Bible, you'll notice that certain verses, certain numbers, the whole Bible is a living Bible. Well, anyway, chapter 17, let's just say it did represent the year 2017. Just say it did. I don't believe it does, but it does represent the number 17, which the number 17 is the number 10 with the number 7. So the number 7 is completion and the number 10 is judgment. So both those together. Just now let's listen to this. Now remember, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. Okay, so let's just listen to this real good. It says, and after 6 years, 6 days, I'm sorry, 6 days. So after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up upon a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured. It says, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as lights. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, who's going to be the two witnesses during the tribulation period? Possibly Moses and Elijah. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the clouds which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, if you read this chapter, you would swear Jesus was taking, it says, and then the verse before chapter 17, it says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death. Okay, there's going to be some people who, before the rapture of the church, will not taste death. And then, all of a sudden, he takes Peter, James, and John. Now, John in Revelation chapter 4 represents the church. What happens? He says, and you hear a sound of a trumpet calling, come up here, and I'll show you things that must transpire. But anyway, you go to chapter 21, and Jesus is, I think that's the first word on the chapter where Jesus is taking and chasing out the money changers out of the church. So chapter 21 is where he is, and it has something to do with the temple, the cleansing of the temple. Now, you know what happens in the middle of the tribulation period. If this is year 2021, if the tribulation period started in 2017, 2021 will be when the Antichrist walks into the temple and declares himself God and sits in the temple. Okay, so if you go to chapter 24, most of us know that chapter 24 talks about the end times. Okay, chapter 24 talks about the Olivet Discourse in the temple. Jesus starts off by talking about the temple, and then he says, that no stone will be left unturned or up, standing upright. And then he says, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. And in verse 8, all these are the beginning of birth pains. And then he says, when you should see abomination, the cause of desolation, the cause of standing. And then he says, except those days should be shortened, there will no such be saved. He says, immediately after the tribulation period, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. And that's chapter 24. So I'm not saying that these are the years, but I'm saying that the number 17, the number 21 means three. It's three sevens, which means completion. And then 24 is two twelves. And you know, you see the 24 witnesses, the 24 elders in the book of Revelations. So, you don't have to believe the things that we say, but I strongly suggest going to do some research. There are 15 economists. I mean, I've counted a whole bunch of them. I've been listening to economists besides listening to, Bible preachers. I've been listening to economists who are pointing to the year 2017, the fall, as the market's collapsing and the economy collapsing. Now, it's not going to be like 2008 where, we came back. It's not going to be like even 1929. This is going to take America off the map. There are eclipses both in 2017 and 2024 that will cross in the middle of the United States right when the Madrid fault line lay. And as a matter of fact, the first eclipse will happen August 21st, 2017, where I'm going to go look at it because I'm trying to get to a Bible conference. Hopefully I can get there. I took some leave off from work to go to this Bible conference, and hopefully I can go. And Scotty Clark is going to be there. Some of the other guys are going to be there. And I look forward to seeing those guys there talking about Bible prophecy and stuff like that. But if you don't know anything about the Revelations 12 sign, go check it out. It's pretty interesting. What the heck is going on here? Let me see. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So go check it out. I mean, it's nothing... You know, God said in Luke 21 that the sun, moon, and the stars are there for signs. He says, and there should be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth, the distress of nation with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, man's heart's fear, man's heart's failing them for fear of what's coming upon the earth. And yeah, I do believe that that's kind of strange. What Jesus say, pray that you can escape these things. That if you look at Revelation 12, there is not only the signs from Virgo and Leo, but there's also a sign that represents the dragon, which is Satan. And some people say this can be Planet X. So you go outside, you look outside your house, and it's this giant planet sitting up there, and it's not the size of the sun, because the sun is 99 million miles away. This thing is only going to be like 10 million miles, and it's going to look huge. And it's going to cause tidal waves and tsunamis and earthquakes. And I know it sounds crazy, it sounds unbelievable, but we didn't see this until now. People who are in studying Bible prophecy did not see this until now. And now we see it, just like we see the Revelations 12 sign. And that Revelations 12 sign is going to be here on 9/23/2017. And that's right a day before Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. Now, Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah starts the 21st through the 22nd of September. And on the 21st of September, the UN is holding a the normal annually peace conference. And in the peace conference this year, its theme would be peace and safety. And we know what the word God says during the peace and safety. But the next video I make, I would like to come out and talk about the Revelations 12 sign. And hopefully I don't get my butt kicked by some of these Facebook trolls that like to, or YouTube trolls. I haven't really strongly started on YouTube yet, but I plan to go to YouTube pretty soon and talk about some of the things that I've, you know, discovered, that other people have discovered, rather. I haven't discovered. I knew a lot of things before. Even this, because I didn't even know Scotty Clark was talking about, I didn't even know anything about Revelations 12. I would read right past it. I didn't even think a second thought about it. You know, I just thought it was just something that would happen in the tribulation period. Was many people did. They thought it would happen in the middle of the tribulation period. But I see revolution, and it's not going to be a good revolution. I see Red Dawn happening in the fall. I see Red Dawn happening for the entire rest of the time of America's existence. I see citizenry of America going berserk. You know, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Everything you hear on TV, you hear these Manchester, you know, bombings and stuff, and you never see the victims. You see them from far away. We was researching, when I say we, I mean those in the know, were researching these fake, and I'm not saying that those are fake, I'm just saying it's just possibly real, but I just think it's so, the London thing and the Orlando thing, I mean, they were using crisis actors to fulfill some of the drills across America in the last couple of years. I mean, they've been running drills. Every time they get ready to do something, they're running drills. They even ran a drill just recently of New Jersey being bombed by a suitcase nuke. They had like four suitcase nukes, and two of them went live, and two of them were duds. And that's what the drill was about, and it was in New Jersey. And what they said is that, okay, we got two of them went off, and one of them was near the Canadian border. Two of them was near the Canadian border. And, yeah, some of us were looking for something to happen, hoping it didn't. I was hoping it didn't because I'm cool. you know, I'm cool. I don't need nothing happening to my fellow Americans. I mean, just like I'm serious. I would rather God just snap his fingers and everybody would actually say, "Oh, we love you, God." But that's not happening. That's the idea of the universal church. They think everybody's going to be saved. Hey, some of the plain churches think everybody's going to be saved. And Jesus, what did Jesus say in Matthew 7:13? It says, "Few will be saved. A few will enter into the narrow gate. For broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many there be which go in. But you know, narrow is the way that lead to life, and few would be defined it." And I got a few more minutes on the show, today marks the 50th year of the Six-Day War, and Israel took back Jerusalem 50 years ago. And like I was saying earlier, Judah ben Samuel prophesied that Israel will recapture Jerusalem in 1967. Now, how does he know all of this stuff? Well, he said that he spent his time in prayer and reading his word and also crunching numbers. He did a lot of number crunching, and he let the numbers speak for themselves. He didn't try to prophesy that Jesus would come back on such and such day. He let the Bible speak for itself, and he did an excellent job doing that through the Holy Spirit, hopefully. But man, this man's right on. I mean, for right now, he's right on. I mean, but if this year come and go, he's not right on. But for many of y'all that don't want Christ to come back, I think y'all need to change your mind. You know, I don't think y'all want to be here. Starvation is going to hit America's streets. I mean, starvation, people going to be breaking into other people's houses to get other stuff, you know. I mean, not to mention human error, human causes of strife and tribulation. Your next door neighbor is going to be the one breaking in your house, taking stuff. Not the American government and all this stuff. The American government is not even going to be in existence. It's probably going to be some other foreigners coming in your house trying to rape your daughter and take everything you got. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative or nothing, but it's time to wake up, folks. You guys got to wake up. Wake up before it's too late. Wake up before it's too late. Donald Trump was talking about busting some bubbles. Remember, we had the real estate bubble and the housing bubble and I mean, we got companies, folks, closing up. Radio Shack is closing up thousands of companies. I thought Radio Shack was already closed. I heard the announcer on the ABC News talking about Radio Shack is closing. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I thought Radio Shack been closed. So how much I know. Sears and sold their patent of something they made to another company, and they're closing the doors, and a lot of malls across America is closing, you know, and it goes to show you, I mean, America's not in Bible prophecy. I mean, America's nowhere in Bible prophecy, and we need to pray for our country, and we need to pray for our military. We need to pray for our protection. We need to pray that you account it worthy to escape the things that are coming upon the earth, because this stuff is going to hit hard and heavy, and you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. It's not the place to play around with God. You know, I'm not a great messenger because I don't have an education. I mean, people look at me like, oh, yeah. But the disciples didn't have no education either, you know. I mean, a lot of preachers have educations, and they're leading their congregation to hell. That the congregation has no chance. A lot of preachers don't even preach about sin. They don't even preach about morality. They don't preach about right or wrong. They don't preach about hell. I mean, Jesus Christ coming back. They don't preach about heaven. They don't preach about anything. You know, they just kind of line their pockets and sing Kumbaya and hold hands and have all their church programs. It doesn't work that way, folks. I mean, God is trying to talk to him. He's standing out the door and knocking, and nobody won't open the door. They won't open the door. God, we don't want you here. I stand at the door and knock. You guys don't want me here. So what I'll do is I go somewhere else where I'm wanted. And this is exactly what's going on. Our television set, man, is every kid will probably see 20,000 murders before they reach 18. You know, I don't know if that's that high of a number, but it's, I'm just exaggerating. But I'm pretty sure they're going to see their share of murders and rapes and all this other stuff. I mean, you got 8-year-old, 9-year-old kids, you know, the parents sitting there watching TV and we're watching a decent program, and then the commercial come on, the commercial's worse than the shows on TV. You ain't got no time to turn. Where's the remote? Let me turn it off right quick. I can't find it. Yeah, I bet you can. They trying to prime you for that dirty show you're going to watch. Look, folks, the God that's been preached in the modern-day churches is not the God that was preached back in the day of the apostles. What did Galatians chapter 1 say? It says, if you preach any other gospel except the one that you have heard from the apostles and, of course, Jesus' disciples, you're accursed. So when you're sitting up there and you're looking at this filth on TV, I mean, you got to know something. Either you're just not caring. I mean, I'm not talking about with your kids in the room. I'm talking about when your kids go to bed. What are you watching? What are you doing, you know, in secret? What do you do in secret? You say it's not none of your business, Phil. And that's exactly the issue. That's the problem right there. See, Jesus says enter into the gate, the narrow gate. You know, the narrow gate means that you live a righteous, moral life. You know, you care every second of the day what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're going to say. You care. You read this book, this Bible, this Word of God, and you care what's in it, and you do what's in it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? You don't even do what I say. You got people on Facebook who rather, post about Snooki or some Chris Brown story then talk about the gospel. Or they want to talk about politics, but they don't want to talk about the gospel. Why is that? Do your duty, do your job, do what you're supposed to be doing. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be preaching the gospel, right? I'm not trying to be mean at you. I'm not mad. I'm just saying you have to understand that our chief aim, our chief duty, the will of God, that's our duty. It says in it, excuse me, in Matthew 7, 30, I think it's 21, just read the whole Matthew 7, where it's saying, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? But he says before that, the only person going to heaven is the one who does his will. He said, well, fine, I'll just go into non-existence. I won't exist anymore. No, you can't. You ain't got no choice. You don't have no choice. You don't go into non-existence. When you're born, you become an eternal being. You're either going to go to heaven or hell. I don't know why that's so hard for people to get. I don't know why we can't get that. I mean, I'm talking about myself, too. It's hard for me to get it. But anyway, I got to go off because my Blog Talk Radio program is going off, so it's got 90 seconds left, but I'm going to end it on Facebook. I tried to do YouTube, but I kind of butchered that, so I'm gonna do a live on YouTube probably soon. But yeah, God bless y'all out there. I thank y'all for coming and tuning in. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's time. Give him your life. He can do a better job than we can ever do. You know, ask him tonight. Ask him now. You know, God, I don't know you, but I'd like to know you. I'd like for you to become my Lord and Savior. Thank you so much, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. And live for God every day. You know, live for God. Don't just live for him on Sundays or go to church on Sundays, dress up and put your lipstick and your hat and all this stuff, other stuff on. You know, live for Jesus every day, because time's short, folks. Time's short. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful day.